So glad you're in the house of the Lord today. I don't know if you decided to come or if you're a young person and your parents made you, but whatever got you here, that was a great decision, because the Bible says if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you, and today is our youth service. The Bible also says, rejoice in the Lord always, and it says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a happy day for me. I ran by the McDonald's at about 9:30 thinking I was going to get a sausage biscuit, and the line was too long, and I left, but Brother Alan Clayton chased me in the car, said, I'm in line, and I'll get it for you, and the man brought me a biscuit, and a day that a big boy gets his biscuit is a happy day, you know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Happy, happy day. Our kids are going to sing for you. They're back from Camp Ivy. They spent a week out there learning and growing and memorizing. Did you know that our Oakland won for the second year in a row the most Bible verses learned? He memorized 78 verses. Can, how about that, huh? How about that? Amen. But they're going to sing and share their testimonies, and God's been good. Aren't you thankful for young people? Aren't you thankful for children? Aren't you thankful that God still cares for young people? Let's pray. Lord, we love you today, and we thank you for this opportunity to come in the house of the Lord. We thank you for the goodness that you've shown to us. Father, thank you for the kindness Brother Clayton shared with me. That was just a blessing today. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'd look down on this time and you'd be glorified. Father, I pray that our heart would be just to point people to you. Lord, we can't save people. Lord Jesus, you know in my heart, I know I'm not what they need. But I pray, God, that you would be glorified and we'd point people to you. And I pray that as the people leave the services today, that the songs of our young people and the testimonies of our young people would be echoing in their hearts. Would you be glorified today? Would you meet us in this place? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm so thankful. I don't know about a beautiful mess. I tell people I'm a blessed mess. I'm so thankful this morning to be able to stand in front of my church and say we sent a group of kids to Camp Ivy this week. And last year, our first time, we sent six young people. And out of the six, we came home with the one, as you've already heard, who won the most verses for last year. We also had one that was Camper of the Year. Out of six, out of our small group of six, we took home two of the most coveted, if that's the right thing to say, awards. This year, we sent 11 young people. The number went up. We sent 11 young people, and I'm very proud to say that when I went to pick those kids up Friday afternoon, the director of the camp came to me and said how very well behaved our kids were. And this church can be very proud of the kids that we sent, how very well behaved that our kids were. And he said that he told them, he pulled them all together Thursday evening and told them how very well they represented Calvary. So this church, I just want you to know, we can be very proud of these young people. And next year we hope... He said that they were very well behaved, not one issue at all with them, and that they were a very good witness and testimony on behalf of our church and our children's home. So next year, when the time comes, Lord willing, that we would announce we're doing Camp Ivy, I pray that even more would want to go. We've got a couple of our young guys that are just going to share a word of testimony for us this morning, and I'm just so very, very proud of you guys for being willing to speak.
I wanted to say that I've had an honor to be able to go to Camp Ivy this past week. One evening service, I went to the altar and I rededicated my life to Christ. After hearing the song, I got saved. But this morning, I wanted to share with you a story in the Bible I never heard until I went to camp. It starts in Judges chapter 3, verse 12, and it talks about a man named Ehud who the Lord raised up for Israel. Ehud's bringing a gift to King Eglon of Moab, which the Bible describes as a very fat man. Ehud meets Eglon alone in a summer parlor. Instead of a gift, Ehud stabs Eglon with a two-edged dagger he made, and it says in Judges chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, and Ehud put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. And the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. After this, Ehud then closes and locks the door of the parlor and runs away. This is an example of sin. Eglon is a sin, and you need to get rid of the King Eglon in your life. But make sure you don't come back to that sin, and you close and lock the doors on that sin. Thank you for letting me speak, and I hope that someone gets something out of this story this morning.
I just want to say thank you to everyone who worked at the tree lot. I would not be able to go to Camp Ivy and learn everything that I learned or achieve, all of the achievements that I got. And I had an amazing time, and I actually want to share one of my verses that I memorized. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. I thought of this as a way and how sin entices you, and then you want to take it. And no matter what, you want to take it, but God is trying to stop you. And I just want to say, don't give in to the sin.
I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm actually really nervous. I'm nervous because this camp was such a blessing and it touched me in so many different ways that I don't want to accidentally undermine the fact that God was there. When I first went there, the moment we got there, we went to church. And the first thing the preacher said was not to let the devil make a monkey out of you. And his demonstration was that he brought a monkey trap, a little shiny little ball in there, called that ball sin, and the monkey would go in, he'd stick his hand in there. And as long as that monkey had that ball, he was not leaving, and he would die. And that you had to let go of your sin to be saved. This camp meant a lot to me. Going there for the very first time was a true blessing. And knowing that I can go, I knowing that I went to this camp and I was able to come back and just be, it answered so many questions that I had. And I just want to thank y'all for coming together and helping me go there. I went there and I told them that I was blessed to even be at that camp, and that I'm glad that God is continually blessing me every single day. And going to that camp, it just, it's, I my words cannot describe how much they put their hearts into each and every single service. How much they would tell you that if you were not saved, that you needed to be saved. There we learned about contentment. We learned about the realities of hell. And we learned that we, as people, cannot do anything. But we, as a people and as children of God, can help. But without Him, we are nothing. And I just want to thank you for letting me go. Thank you.
Assurance. This song on the radio, so I'll sing the verse, and if you all would please join me on the chorus of My Jesus.
Thank you. Could the ushers please come down? Please remember our fellowship next Sunday evening after the service. There is a sign-up sheet down front where you can sign up for items you bring, like appetizers, sandwiches, etc. Please see Miss Amanda if you have any questions. Please remember our young people, as most of them will be returning to school in a week or so. Please remember those in our prayer list. James Townsend is home from the hospital. Please remember him as he continues to recover. David Henderson continues to recover at home, and we expect him and Miss Glenda to be back with us next week. Please remember Larry Bennett, who also has COVID. Miss Mary Ann Savi will be having foot surgery this week. Please remember Miss Ruby Harper, who will be having brain surgery tomorrow. Brother Don Rich, could you please pray for us?
Thank you. This. The cross is the way home. Finally, he's bringing us down. We still can't see anything. And all he kept saying is, stay with me. My sheep, the Bible says, hear my voice and they follow me. Finally, just a couple hundred feet off the ground, we saw the cross. I landed the plane. In fact, I landed it 7 times. Finally, it all came to a stop.
And I have a couple of testimonies today that I cannot wait to share with you. I was so tempted to just go ahead and jump out and share them with you on the front, but the Lord told me where to share them in the message, so I'm going to honor the Lord in that way. In 2 Samuel chapter number 9, we have one of the great men of God who has to this point in his life wholly walked with God. His name is David. He has not yet had the two great blunders of his life. He has not yet had the disaster that was Bathsheba or the numbering of the army. And to this point, he has just honored God. And because he has wholly walked with God, guess what he's done? He's been a blessing to everyone in his life. Do you know if you walk with God, you will be a blessing to everyone in your life? You want to help your kids? Walk with God. You want to help your siblings? Walk with God. You want to help your parents? Walk with God. You will do that. David has done that, and as such, at this juncture, he's a middle-aged guy like me, and he's looking back over his life, and for the life of one who walks with God, it's a life without regrets. Do you know nobody who's ever walked with God ever looked back on their life and thought, you know, I wish I had some addictions. I just wish I'd brought some of that suffering into my life. I wish I'd broke some relationships. I really wish I had. I wish I'd never invested in eternity. I wish I'd never heard from God. Nobody ever thinks like that. The life of walking with God is a life that has little regret. It's a life that doesn't see things. We're so glad when somebody walks with God, they're so glad they didn't have addictions. When we walk with God, we're so glad we don't go through life breaking relationships. When we walk with God, we're so glad we invested in eternity, and we are so glad that we heard from God. And when a child of God who walks with God spends decades of their life walking with God, they can look back on their life and see treasure. They just can. They can see treasure. It was true from many of the men of God. It was so true that if you read your Bible, you'll discover that many of the men of God loved to tell their own story. They loved to share what God had done. I remember when Moses was 120 years old and he was getting ready to hand the torch over, if you will, to Joshua. And he began to speak to the people. And he called them in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and he said, do you remember what God did when he overthrew Pharaoh? Who could forget that, for crying out loud? They had been oppressed and slaves, and God had worked on their behalf and rescued them. They'd been saved. Do you remember the day you got saved? Do you remember that day, Brother David? How could you forget that day? And he said, think of that day that he did that. And then he went on to say to them, and then when we got here, these two kings, Sihon and Og, came and they attacked us. Yikes! We're the people of God walking with God, and yet we're under attack. What's going on? But you know what he said? Because of God's help, and we smote them and we took their land. He said literally, he said that standing in the land of the king of Sihon and Og, presumably. He said, look what God has done. And then he began to call on them to walk with God and to serve the Lord your God. Listen to the words. Don't go there. But in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19, here's what he said as he got ready to hand the church. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, but that both thou and thy seed may live. Choose life that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, or to him rather, for he is thy life. Do you hear what he said? I'm calling on you to cleave unto him, for he is thy life. Moses was saying, I walked with God. I don't regret it. Choose this day to do these things. Do you remember as Joshua tried to get the generation after him to walk with God, what he said? He went through Israel's history, then he got to his part, and he reminded them of Jericho, the Bible says. And who could forget that day? The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. He held the hand of God, did what God told him to do. And then he said to them, and God sent the hornet to the Amorites. Now, I love that verse and that passage. You've got to admit, your God has a sense of humor. Because the Bible says that God did not want Israel to defeat the Amorites with their sword and with their bow. He did it for them with the hornets. Because one thing I know to be true is that bees and humans have this relationship. They always make us run. Have you ever been attacked by bees before? You don't just be like, oh, thank you, may I have another. You get moving. I remember when I was a kid, I was working in this elderly lady's yard, and I had one of those walk-behind lawnmowers, and I suddenly felt the stinging of bees and realized I'd gotten over a yellow jacket's nest, and I immediately clamped down on those handles trying to stop it so I could run, but I only got one of those handles stuck. So literally that walk-behind lawnmower just started doing donuts over the bee, and it was like rallying the war drum. The bees were like, whoo! You know what I mean? And they came after me. True story. They started hitting me and trying to run, and out of nowhere, that elderly lady saw my dilemma. She ran out of the house, and she has these sheets of, like, rolls of fabric soccer, and while I'm swatting the bees, they make you into a dancer, you know, and you're moving and grooving, and she literally started wrapping me with fabric softener, and I was being attacked by both bees and the elderly, right?
said, you remember that God sent the hornet to the Amorites. It wasn't our sword and it wasn't our bow. And then he said, we have land which for which we did not labor. We have cities that we did not build. And we have vineyards that we are currently eating out of that we did not plant. Oh, walk with God. Walk with God. And then he said those words that you know, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do you remember Paul telling his story? There was that great blinding light. And suddenly he who persecuted the church was now preaching to strengthen the church. And the chiefest of sinners had been saved. And he told his story over again in the New Testament. There's a truth. When I look back over our youth group and I think about the days where we obeyed God and we tried to do what God told us to do, I think about some precious things. I think about the day God told us to build that tree lot, and I could tell that story a thousand times, and we just did it. And what I did not know was the year after God told us to build that tree lot, God called us to go to conference, and we couldn't have afforded to go to conference if it wasn't for that tree lot and the precious, precious things that have happened through that conference. I remember one day we got home from the conference, and 5 days of preaching up there was so very good. And the children's home had a pool party over at Amberton Pool, and we were over there. And one of the young men who'd been on that conference came up to me and said, Uncle B, I think I need to get saved. And we literally walked out in the woods, literally kneeled in the pine straw, right? And he called on the Lord his God to save him. I could tell you who he was, but I didn't ask permission, but it was precious. And you would know God has been good. And you walk with God. Today, Kevin is going to preach tonight. Would you invite your friends to come here, Kevin, tonight? He's just 20 years old. That God has really called on his heart. Kevin, I hope tonight maybe you share a little bit about your story and what God has done in your life. I'm telling you, if you walk with God, you will see treasure. And David was in that precious spot, no regrets, looking back over his life, and he bumped into some treasure, if you will. 2 Samuel chapter number 9, verse number 1. And the Bible said, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? There's the treasure. He had a great friend named Jonathan who saw what God was up to. Can I tell you that's a great skill? He had a great friend named Jonathan that was a treasure to him, and he saw what God was up to because Jonathan was the eldest son of the current king. But Jonathan perceived that his wicked father was rebelling against the Lord, and the kingdom was going to be taken from him and given unto David. And instead of fighting against it, he literally saw what God was up to, and he decided to help God's cause. And one time, Jonathan actually said to him, you're going to be king, and I'll be next to you. It didn't matter that he was the oldest prince. He saw what God was up to. I have a friend that pastors a church out in West Georgia, and he said they had a contentious problem because there was a need to build something. But in order to build something, they had to cut down this great oak tree. And there was one particular man in his church that was godly and true, but he was adamantly opposed cutting down that tree. And he I don't know what the story was, but I remember him saying something like, my grandpappy planted that tree, and it's been there all these years, and we don't need to change, and all this change is bad. But this is it. The church came in to vote, and literally the entire church voted to cut down the tree and build, and he voted against it. But here's what the pastor said. You know something precious? On the Saturday that came to cut down the tree, I looked up in my truck, and there was that old man with his chainsaw. There was that old man with his rake, and he was there to help cut down the tree that the church had voted to. You know what? Jonathan was Team Jehovah. Jonathan wasn't Team Jonathan. Jonathan was Team Jehovah God. And if God's moving this way, he got on the ship and he helped him. He loved David. The Bible says he cared for him. He protected him. He warned him. And he looked out for him. And he said, is there somebody left that I can show kindness for his sake? Because tragically, Jonathan had died in battle with his wicked father. And the Bible says, verse number 2, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? If you're given to writing in your Bible, please underline those words, kindness of God. Don't miss it. The kindness of God is different than the kindness of man. The kindness of man chooses one and misses another. The kindness of man is on one day and off another. The kindness of man obviously follows along our emotional path, but the kindness of God is steadfast and true. And David said, is there somebody that I can show the kindness of God to? I wonder what he meant. And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he?
And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Yeah, I don't have time to break it down, but most Bible scholars would say that was like the ghetto. And the king David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. I want you to notice that when he asked if there was anybody left, they said there's just a handicapped boy, but that did not matter to David. That truly didn't matter to David. He wanted to show kindness to someone who was important to someone he loved. And the Bible says they went and got him. In verse number 6, it says, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. I think that's significant since he would have had to have help getting back up. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not. Let's stop right there. Why would he say to Mephibosheth, fear not? Why would Mephibosheth be afraid? Do you know why? In those days and in many cultures, the former regime, all of the relatives of the former royal tree, when a new regime took over, literally those people would have to be extinguished so that there would not be a rebellion. And Mephibosheth, no doubt, probably thought that day that he was going to be killed, but he told him, fear not. And watch this. He could never have guessed what was going to come out of David's mouth. For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread continually at my table. Wait, what? What did you just say? I'm going to give you all of Saul's land. I'm going to let you eat continually at my table. It's unbelievable for sure. And the Bible says, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon a dead dog as I am? Remember that response. Mephibosheth was saying, I don't deserve this kindness. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to his house. The kindness of God is good. Just two more verses. Stay with me. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's son. He was brought into the family, the royal family, by the kindness of the king. And any preacher, even at the elementary stage, could see that there are many eternal implications in this story. And 1,000 preachers more gifted than I have shown how that God orchestrated the events of Mephibosheth's life to demonstrate to me and to you what it looks like for a sinner to be rescued and saved by a gracious king. I mean, after all, you've got to remember this. Mephibosheth was injured in a fall. Do you remember that? Somebody dropped him when he was little, and it made him lame at his feet. You and I were injured in a fall. The Bible says that sin came by one man, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It's true, we were injured in the fall. Beyond that, the Bible tells us that in Mephibosheth's case, he had to be retrieved. And for the sinner, the Bible says, no man comes to the Father unless the Father draw him. You didn't get saved by coming to Jesus. I'm going to tell you something that's true. If you reject Jesus today, if you decide, hey, I'm not going to get saved, if the Lord draws you, there's no guarantee that he will ever draw you again. I don't speak for God or try to scare you or anything, but that's just the truth. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except the Father draw him. He came to get him. We who have been saved were given great benefits, weren't we? We were given eternal life. We were given the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us. We were given the help of God and the involvement of God. Mephibosheth was given great rewards. Mephibosheth was given a future promise, wasn't he? You can eat bread always at my table. We are given a future promise. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. There's no way you could miss the connection between this story and ours. Amen. It is true. But can I ask you for just a second to understand that David didn't know any of that? David had never heard of Jesus, right? David didn't have a clue what he was doing was setting up for a great story that the New Testament church would tell. He just knew that he was trying to show kindness. So can I ask you, how in the world did David pull off this miraculous story that mirrors ours without even knowing it? Truth number one for our sermon this morning is the Christian life is the supplied life. The Christian life is the supplied life. Remember what David said in verse number 3. Is there anyone that I can show the kindness of God to? Not the kindness of David. The kindness of God. Do you know what the secret to Christian life is?
great secrets to Christian life is that you and I are to get something from God that we in turn give to the people. That's just it. And David gave nothing to Mephibosheth that he had not first gotten from God. In fact, David just gave out of the abundance that God had given him unto Mephibosheth. That's all he was doing, and God used it to great ends. If you think about it, the Bible says that he was given all that land, right? Well, David was given the entire nation of Israel, right? He was given that land. David was given it. He was given, Mephibosheth was given those servants. David was given authority over all the servants of Israel. He was given a seat at the table. David was given authority over the royal table. He gave him only what he had been given. He gave to Mephibosheth great land. Did God give unto David great land? Is Israel not the land that flows with milk and honey? Is Israel not the land that flows with great riches? Did you know that in the early 2000s, the Jewish population only made up 3% of the world's population, and yet I believe they made up 1/3 of the world's millionaires? Did you know that? It is indeed a land that flows with milk and honey, and God had given unto him that great land. The Bible tells us that he gave it unto Mephibosheth, even though Mephibosheth might have been disqualified. I would suggest to you that never in Israel's history, up to this point in time, had any handicapped individual come into possession of so great a land. So great a land that 35 servants are going to have to take care of it. I bet you know, if you read your Bible, you understand that many times the handicapped people were the people who literally begged on the side of the road. There may have never been somebody. He couldn't take care of it. He couldn't earn it. And even if he had earned it, there'd be no way that he could take care of it. But yet, God took care of it. He gave that gift to Mephibosheth. Hear what I'm saying to you. In spite of his family's sins. The first verse, he said, is there anyone left of the house of Saul? Who was Saul? Saul was the former king of Israel, and he had been horrible to David. Do you remember what he did to David? Why would David reward his grandson? He gave it in spite of that sin. The Bible says he threw a spear at David. Come on now, that's not playing well with others. Personal foul, roughing the Christian. You got to give me that one, right? The Bible says he hunted David. He plotted against David. The Bible says he gave David's wife to another man. Come on now, that's just terrible. I mean, unbelievable. If somebody gives your wife to another man, it's game on, isn't it, right? But David understood. He was giving kindness in the marriage of Jonathan, the son. And so in spite of the sin, and God had given to David in spite of his sins. Do you know who it was that told us that God separates our sins from the east and from the west? David wrote that psalm. David understood, God has put away my sins and given unto me. When the Bible says, he says, bless the Lord, the very first thing, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, in that great psalm that you understand. So everything that he gave to Saul, I mean to Mephibosheth, God had given to him. Don't get lost in the weeds. Go with me, 2 Samuel chapter number 7. 2 Samuel chapter number 7. And you just have got to be able to see, how similar the kindness of God is to the kindness that David shows unto Mephibosheth. Chapter number 7, a few, I don't know if it was weeks or months, but in the same season of life earlier, before he gave this gift to Mephibosheth, God had a conversation with him. And if you look at what it says, verse number 8, the Bible says, now therefore, so shalt thou say to my servant David, God speaking through a prophet, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep. You know what God said to him? I came to get you. I came to get you. Did David go to get Mephibosheth? Did he not? To be ruler over my people, over Israel. You know what he was saying? I elevated you. Verse number 9. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men on the earth. He said, I looked after you. I made sure you were okay, and I gave you a different position with men. Is that not exactly what David did for Mephibosheth? Look at verse number 11. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and to cause thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. Wow! What a gift. He was working on David's residence. Of course, he was talking about David's heritage and how his family would sit on the throne of Israel forever. That is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Wow, what a gift. Did David get more than he bargained for?
David said, hey, I want to build you a house. And God said, no, I'm going to build you a house. And he got exceedingly abundantly above all that he could have ever asked or thought. And then when he said, I got to show the kindness of God to somebody, his gift absolutely mirrored the gift that God had given unto him. Do you know what the secret to the Christian life is? Get something from God. Walk closely enough to the Lord that you get something from God that you can share with the people around you. And you will see precious eternal things happen. Look at verse number 18. You just owe it to yourself. Verse number 18 says, then went King David in and sat before the Lord. And he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hither to? Can I just say to you, is that not identical to Mephibosheth's response? David sat before the Lord and said, who am I? I don't get this, God. You've been too good to me. Mephibosheth bowed before David and said, why would you think of such a dead dog? It is precious and it is true. He got something from the Lord that he could give to other people. What are you getting from the Lord? Are we walking closely with the Lord enough that we can literally get something from him that we can share with the people? Psalms chapter 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let me ask you a question. What is the strength of that tree? Is the strength of that tree its great trunk? Is the strength of that tree its great branches? Do you know what the strength of that tree is? It is its supply. It is planted, placed on purpose by the rivers of water that feed it, and it is able to help. If you and I could come to understand this, that Jesus Christ said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We literally must be connected with God to get something from God that we might give to the people. It's just an absolute fact in our life. How closely are we walking to the Lord? How closely are we walking to the Lord? I think back of how the Bible declares, be ye filled with the Spirit. When it says be ye filled with the Spirit, that's a command to the New Testament Baptist believer. Did you catch that? That's a command to the New Testament Baptist believer. And sometimes we fear some of the charismatic things that go on, and probably, no doubt, we should. Some of that goes on is not of the Lord, clearly outside of the realm of Scripture. But in truth, not so much that we throw the baby out with the bathwater. And when the Bible says, be ye filled, it is saying be available to the Lord, that he can pour something into you that you can then give to other people. Be ye filled. Do you know who the greatest evangelist is according to Billy Graham? Billy Graham said the greatest evangelist to ever walk the earth is a guy named Vance Havner. And my mother-in-law loved him dearly. And I have lots and lots of his books. And if you're in the senior season of your life, can I tell you, if you want some encouragement, would you borrow one of my books? Because Vance Havner was a dandy of a preacher. And one of the great illustrations that Vance Havner used to give is he used to say, the Christian life is like the water wheel, right? The Christian life is like the water wheel. The river runs and it turns the wheel. The wheel in turn turns the turbine and creates power for life. And as long as the river is running, the wheel will be turning. But the second that the river stops running, the wheel stops turning and there is a great loss of power. If you're in this place today and you don't have any desire to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, if it's all you can do to make yourself get up and go to church, could I ask you to check on the river? Yeah. What's going on in the river? Yeah. Because in Vance Havner's illustration, he said in the old days when they had those water wheels, they would build them over creeks and small little brooks and whatnot. And every now and then the lights would go out and literally they'd have to run out there and see what was going on, where some debris and some branches may have fallen into the river and something was damming up the river and it had to be lifted, it had to be removed and taken out of that. But the minute that thing that was blocking it was removed, the wheel would begin to, the water would flow, the wheel would turn and power would be restored. Can I tell you, many times in my life when I've gotten ready to preach, I get down and I say, okay, God, I get in that place. Pastor Center taught me, lay on your face, and I say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to say? And it's like the heavens are silent and they're brass, and always I say, okay, Lord, is there something in my life that I need to deal with? And can I tell you, without fail, the Lord has shown me what it was that I need to deal with. Sometimes I got to go to Melina and say, I'm sorry, right? And she always says, I love when you have to preach. That's what she says, right? I'm sorry, right? Yes. And that's true. We got to make sure, because we were created for something great. David
have to work with you. I just can't wait. When David looked back over his life, he saw Jonathan, and it was treasure. Oh, no doubt. Do you know on the day that Goliath was killed, Saul got jealous of him? You might remember that. But Jonathan did not. In fact, Jonathan honored him, and the Bible says their souls were knitted together. How powerful is that friendship? Their souls were knitted together. So powerful. When Jonathan died, he wrote a song, and he made his men to learn it. But on the day that Goliath was killed, Saul got jealous, but Jonathan was like, "Yay, God! Yay for Israel!" And you know what Jonathan did? He took off his royal robe, and he gave it unto David. At that very early season, he was welcoming him into the royal family. Oh my goodness, you see the parallel down the road there. He had a friend. By the way, Jonathan wasn't some weak boy who was like, "Well, I guess if I can't be king, oh, you, no, you misunderstand." Jonathan was powerful. There's a scene, I think it's 1 Samuel 14, where Jonathan took his armor bearer and attacked an entire army. And the Bible says that when they killed the first 20 guys, God sent an earthquake, and the earth rumbled, and the army started running. Running from who? Two guys, Jonathan and his armor bearer. "Brother Don, I'm sorry, I'm prideful. If that happened, I'd be like, oh!" You know what I mean? Yeah! Jonathan wasn't weak, he was powerful, but yet he saw God's plan. And he got on that, and when David looked back on it, oh, it blessed his life. Oh, it helped his life. I've walked with God, and God has given me treasure, and I've got to share on behalf of him with somebody. Can I tell you, I'm so glad for the decades that God's been kind to me, and I'm not a perfect man by any stretch, but tried to walk with God.
Yes.
And God has put treasure in my life. You know one of the great treasures God gave to me? His name was Robert Manning. And Robert Manning was the elderly guy in this church, and he loved me. And Robert knew I worked for a ministry and didn't have lots of money, and so he always would help me in various different ways. He literally finished my entire basement at my house, and the only thing he ever let me pay him was a Longhorn steak, right? And every day at lunchtime when I would be there, I'd take him out for a Longhorn steak. He's precious. Robert Manning loaned our youth ministry his wood splitter. And he said, "I think you guys could do good things with it over there and make money." And he loaned us his wood splitter. He loaned it to us so long that literally Robert would come up to me and he would say, "Ryan, can I borrow my wood splitter?" And he'd go, "Come get it." And when he got done, he brought it back. You know what I mean? And when Mr. Manning died, it broke my heart, but I knew that I had to go see Mrs. Manning. And I said, "Mr. Manning, you know that Mr. Robert loaned me his wood splitter, and I think that I should give it back to you, and you can share it with your family." And she said, "Ryan, he would want you to have it." And she gave me that wood splitter. And then a year later, a Boy Scout saw it and thought, "This thing was built in the 40s. I got an Eagle project. You put a new engine on it. You put new hoses, new hydraulic. That thing's going to last for 50 more years, right?" Can I tell you something precious? Last year at our tree lot, that wood splitter made us a little over $1,000. You got to catch this. You know what it costs to send the kids to Camp Ivy? A little over $1,000. Thank God for the treasure.
Amen.
God puts in our life. I drive past that wood splitter every day, and I say, "Hey, I remember, right?" It's right by the sign that that guy dropped off.
Yeah.
I remember the treasure that God did. I've just got to tell you the story. I have a church in West Georgia that just is so kind to me. They love me, and they're my friend, and they're part of the treasure that God has given in my life. And when I was just a kid, they'd let me come out and preach, and they'd take me out to eat, and I would do the revivals and whatnot, and I thought I'd arrived. We were eating at, like, the Huddle House, you know what I mean? I thought, I made it, you know? And that church has been so very kind to me, and I have done their spring revival for many, many years now. And typically when I do their spring revival, they'll pay me $400 or $500. But 2 years ago, when I did their spring revival, they gave me $700, and that was just such a blessing. Fast forward to this year, and this year, right before I went on to that spring revival, I had a serious financial need in my life. My house needed to be painted, and it didn't want to be painted. It needed to be painted. I painted it last in 2000, so 12 years later, and it was not a need. It was a want. It was a need. And I started getting bids, and I was appalled. I was like, "You got to be kidding me. Things have gone up." And I needed $6,700. And I work for a charity, and that is way more than 10 or 15% of my annual income. And I just thought, "God, this is impossible." But a few days before the revival, I said to the Lord, "Lord, I'm going out to that church. And Lord, last year you gave me $700 there. And I'll just be honest, I'll be frank with you. I said to him, Lord, if they could do $700 again, that would be such a blessing. I'd be so grateful." And that gave me a start. preaching. They don't pay me nothing. I'm glad to go. But if they give you $700, I preach that revival. It's so precious. On the last night, they walked up to me. They gave me an envelope. This year, they didn't write a check. They had just taken up a love offering. And the guy who handed it to me, you have to connect these dots that I'm about to say. He handed it to me and he said, Brother Brian, I'm going to ask you one thing. Don't open it up while you're driving. And I was like, hey. So I got in the car, and of course, we're driving. And he said, don't open it up while we're driving. So open that bad boy up. You know what I mean? And she began to open that up. Could I get you to wager a guess as to what that church paid me for this year's revival? That church gave me $6,700. I'm not done yet. In that envelope, there were two checks for $5,000. The church had given me $1,700, and an individual in the church gave me $5,000. And that same individual had given $5,000 to the children's home. And when I got home, I thought to myself, I don't even know who that lady is. I'm not sure who she is. So I text the pastor and I said, could you remind me who she is? It's a small church. I hate that I don't know her. He goes, oh, you do know her. He sent me a picture. I was like, I do. And Melita reached out to her on Facebook just to say, hey, you're never going to, we don't deserve that. What an incredible blessing. Thank you. And she said, I've got to tell you my story. I've got to tell you my story. She said, earlier this year, my business was so blessed that I needed to give away $10,000. But God told me to hold it for somebody. Now, at this juncture, I'm going to go ahead and just say it. My hat's off to a God that cares for my family that way. My hat's off to a God that looks out for my need that way. It makes me want to love God. It makes me want to serve God. It makes me want to thank God and just jump on in there. Wow! Right? She held that gift, and her $5,000 made it a perfect $6,700. And the other $5,000 was to the children's home. And what a blessing that is. And she said, I didn't even know why God told me to do it, but when I was walking out to my car, God reminded me and told me why I did it. And she said, 30 years ago, I was so sick with cancer that I spent one full year in Emory Hospital. And when I was so sick with cancer as a 30-something and didn't know if I would survive, our church did a singing to raise money for my medical bills. And a preacher and a singer came out there to be a blessing and to help raise money. And that young preacher and that singer was Snyder Turner. And he went out there and she said, and that night the church raised $10,000 for my medical bills. Fast forward 30 years. What she had been given when she was in desperate shape, she no longer needed when she was in blessed shape. And she just gave it to somebody who needed it. You know what something precious is? The Christian life. You go get something from God, and you share it with other people. Amen. You get something from God, and you share it with other people. Can I say to the teachers of this church, don't you dare not ask the Lord, what am I supposed to say? Don't dare sing a song and not say, God, what do you want me to go, the direction that I want to go? Look what we could miss out on if we just got things from the Lord. Oh, what treasure we find. I look back at the treasure that God has given to this church, and the treasure is the people. Aren't you so thankful Miss Barbara Anderson came up in our church? Aren't you so thankful that she served here all those years? She had those 4-inch brownies for the kids, you know? Such a blessing. What a God. You know why she came to our church? She said, the Spirit of God troubled me till I had no choice but to come to this church. She said, I wanted to go to my Third Baptist church, but the Spirit of God troubled me till I parked myself there. And what a blessing she was. She's our kids' favorite Sunday school teacher of all time. Aren't you thankful for Ben Turner? Aren't you thankful for him who sang in this church, who pastored this church and opened that children's home up? He used to fill this church with that song, I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. He lived like he believed it. What a gift he was to our church. Are you thankful for Chuck Sprayberry? I think all the people in that family would say he was the best of that crew. Aren't you thankful that he was in our church and built that youth group and did so very much? Those people were treasure. And can I tell you, they're no longer here. They're not here. And if people are treasure, should we not treat each other like we're treasure? Amen. Should we not care for one another? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. The Bible says, forbear one another. You know what that means? We've got to put up with each other a little bit. The Bible says to encourage one another and uplift one another. We should treat each other like we're treasure. And lastly, as Brother David comes, I would just say to you, God cared for your soul all the way back in David's era. God cared for your soul particularly all the way back in David's era. Because as God began to orchestrate the story of Mephibosheth, he had my soul. soul and your soul and mine. No doubt when Mephibosheth would eat at the table of David, it was a strange scene. Very strange scene. Yet all these beautiful people. The Bible doesn't say that many people are beautiful, but many of the people in David's family we're told are beautiful. David was a good-looking guy, according to the Bible. Tamar was beautiful, according to the Bible. His son Absalom had hair that would make Dansby Swanson jealous, right? I mean, he had that good, good hair. Joab was mighty and strong. Bathsheba, we know, was a stunner. And at this table, there's all these beautiful people, all these royal people, and in hobbles Mephibosheth, right? He doesn't look like the rest of them. He needs help with his chair. He can't reach the mashed potatoes. He can't pour the gravy. He has to be helped and he has to be served. And you would say, who does he represent? Is he supposed to represent the downtrodden of this world? Do you know who he represents? You. Me. Because one day we're going to get to heaven and literally God the Father, holy and always, will be there. God the Son, holy and always, will be there. God the Holy Spirit, holy in all his ways, will be there. Angels who cover their face and say, holy, holy, holy. And guess who else will be there? You and me, who've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And who would say, how did they get here? Do you know what? We got there by royal invitation, right? We got there not because of Jonathan. God showed kindness of God on behalf of Jesus unto us. Like Mephibosheth, he came to get you. Like Mephibosheth, he didn't regard your weakness. Like Mephibosheth, you have received far more than you deserve. Like Mephibosheth, you have been welcomed into the family of God. One last question. What if Mephibosheth had said no? What if Mephibosheth had said, I heard some things about you. Probably wouldn't have been true. What if he said, I heard some things about you and I don't believe it? What if Mephibosheth said, it's too good to be true, and that's just crazy. Handicapped people don't go in that way. What if Mephibosheth, like some of us, had gotten comfortable in his sin and said, I want to go back to Lodabar? He'd gotten comfortable in the downtrodden Lodabar, like some of the folks in our world who go back to their addictions and back to their brokennesses and love those things. What if he had said no? Do you know what? He would have missed out on it all. He would have missed out on it all. And if you turn down the great grace of God, and Jesus Christ has died for you to make a way for you to enter into the streets of heaven one day, oh, you're going to miss out on it all. Would you rise to your feet? I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. I'm going to pray. And if the Lord's spoken to your heart today, maybe you got to get a little closer so you can get something from God that you can give to other people. Maybe you're here today and you're on the right track and you just want to praise the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Today can be the best day of your life. If you ask Mephibosheth, what's the best day of your life? The day the King came and got him. I guarantee it's true. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for these truths. We thank you for the treasure that you give me. God, I thank you that you held $5,000 in me, God. I thank you that you looked after my family. I thank you that you're true and you're real in every way. And God, I pray that you move in this place. And I pray that you'd accomplish what you need to accomplish. And I pray that you'd be free in our hearts.